Ah,
hey.
Que da hora.
Hey, man, we have enjoyed singing praises to the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And we are enjoying all the good things that we see that the Lord is doing.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask Oliver to start that projector. I don't think it's online back there. May have to go around. I was looking for Chris. It's just a red button on the screen at the lower. Yeah.
Anybody need one?
Right.
Everybody have?
Amen. We give the Lord praise. Now, you know, those of you who have been with us, we have been taking our time sojourning through the Epistle to the Romans. Mm-hmm. And some very, very good things are coming out of that. And we have another one today, mm-hmm. which I think is really, really just something we all need to meditate on. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And so this is one of the difficult ones. So we're trying to make it as simple as possible. And we do know that the Spirit of the Lord will make something that seems complicated very simple for those who trust in Him. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So just before we go to this text, let's have a quick word of prayer. Mm-hmm. In order to invite the Spirit of God to open our understanding. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Apostle Paul here is dealing with something that we would say is a theological matter, but we'll try to make it a very practical matter for you as we go on. Let us pray. Lord God, we come before you right now, oh God. We just have been blessed here this morning as we look around and see progress that you have made in the physical, oh God, and we know that on the inside you're working.
Yes, Lord.
In our hearts, in our minds.
Oh, yes,
and you are working in our lives, and you're working in the lives of our families and friends, and you're just doing your thing, Lord, and we just thank you for that.
Thank you.
We thank you for all the privileges that you have poured out upon us, especially this privilege of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, because you said we can ask for anything. Ask and you shall receive.
Yes.
Seek and ye shall find.
Yes.
Knock and it shall be open, you see. Mm-hmm. And so we come right now, Lord, we knock on the spiritual doors of heaven, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
And we ask that you open up the window, however you want to do, Lord. You can just put a crack in the door and let a little glory flow down on us right now.
Yes, Lord. Right now,
oh God. And we come, Lord, asking for knowledge, for understanding, for wisdom, oh God, to apply this great thing that you have spoken through your apostle, oh God. And you said it was the apostles, the prophets, and the law upon which the church is built.
Yes.
And so, Father, we come with the boldness to ask that you give us understanding of a deep thing, oh Lord, in your word.
Yes.
And we trust that you can do that, Lord, that even the smallest child can leave today with a new understanding, Lord, that they did not have. And we ask that you rain out such a blessing right now.
Please,
in the righteous name of your son, Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Take the preacher out of the way, oh God. And you come through in your spirit and in your word, Lord.
Yes.
And speak in the hearts of and lives of your people who are seated here in the sanctuary, God. And any that are hearing this message even remotely, oh God, we ask that you just let it be a blessing.
Yes, Lord.
That they might give you all the thanks, all the praise, all the honor and the glory. We ask it in the matchless, perfect name of your son, Jesus Christ.
Jesus' name.
It's in his name we pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We live in some troubling and difficult times.
Oh, yes, we are.
But you know, the church has always been in opposition to the times.
Yes, yes we have.
Even when it was the children of Israel and it was not the church. They were in opposition to the world around them.
Amen.
And they were a little different because of the fact that they had their hands in God's hand.
Mm-hmm.
They were under the leadership of God, the instruction of God, and they were walking after the things of God in general.
Amen.
And we know even among them there were those who did not truly believe, that were hung up in the things of the world.
Yes.
And the same is the case with the church.
That's right. Amen.
But we hope today that this, which could be a difficult topic, will be something that we can leave away with today, knowing that God has a great blessing in store for you just for obedience to his word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the kind of contest we come up with today when we speak some of the things of God. And I expect this is going to be on the increase.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus prepared his disciples, even when we read that that reading that we read here today, the responsive reading. Jesus said that there is going to come a time when people will persecute you because they do not know me,
mm-hmm.
nor my Father.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are experiencing any kind of persecution because of your faith, understand that the Lord is with you.
That's
in
right.
that.
Amen.
And that
Amen.
He can carry you through.
Yes, he will.
The good news is that those who walk with God will persevere.
Yes.
That's right.
You will persevere.
Yes, you
no
will.
Matter what you go through.
Yes, Amen.
No matter what kind of opposition you come up against,
mm-hmm.
God will carry you through by faith.
Yes, he will.
If you trust and believe in him.
Yes.
So some of the kind of things, and you'll see as we dig into this, exactly what I'm speaking on here today. People want to say, since God is love, then does that mean this? How can God ever hate anything?
Mm-hmm.
They want to just turn God into some big goo who loves all kinds of stuff, no matter whether it's good or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they want to say that that if he's a God of love, then how can there be anything that he hates?
And
so that's one question we want to deal with.
All right.
Here today, and we don't expect to expound the depths of that because that is a deep subject.
Yes, it is.
And what does it mean for people if the ones who are saved are the ones that God elects? How does that work?
Mm-hmm.
People want to know how does God elect somebody and there's somebody who doesn't believe?
Come on.
Does that mean he's condemning someone? I want to dispel that. We've been talking about that the past few lessons.
Yes, we have.
Okay, so we want to get a little more clarity on that. And that's why Paul moves on as we get into this 9th chapter of the book of Romans.
Mm-hmm.
He starts to discuss these things. We looked at some models of faith up to this point.
Yes.
We have seen Abraham presented as a model of faith.
Amen.
Yeah. And the next generation, Isaac, we looked at that. And Rebecca, his wife.
Yes.
And we, of course, it was Abraham and Sarai, or Sarah, as she was called later.
Uh-huh.
And so now Paul wants to take us another level in. And so he begins to discuss. We're going to have a little overlap in this, and I thought that would be good just to connect these lessons together. And that is where we're going to start our reading. Here in Romans 9, verses 12 through 18, we'll be reading for a New Testament passage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask Brother Brown to read that New Testament passage for us. But before we hear that, I'm going to ask one of us to have a reading here in Exodus chapter number 33, verses 17 to 23. These are the verses that Paul refers to. And so we want to bring them into our hearing also today. So if we could get a nice loud reader from our midst here to read, okay, that'll be all right. We'll have Brother Ray go ahead since he's standing there.
May we all stand, please.
And read in Exodus chapter number 33, verses 17 to 23. Amen. Let us hear the reading of the word, starting with the old covenant.
And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live.
My.
And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen.
Amen. My Lord, my Lord. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the Old Testament.
Yes.
And now for our New Testament reading, Brother Brown.
It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger.
Mm-hmm.
As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God?
Mm-hmm.
God forbid. Mm-hmm. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, mm-hmm. and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
Yes.
So then it is not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth.
That's right.
Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will pardon.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've heard the reading of the Old and New Testament. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And we're going to use just for a topic for this message, choose mercy now.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Glory.
Amen. Choose mercy now.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
I want you to see some things here. Now, this, like I say, this is a controversial passage because people try to make it say stuff that it really isn't saying. That's one problem I noticed. Because people want to say, if God is a God of love, how can there be anything that he hates? But the characteristics of love are that if you love something, whatever the opposite of that is, you automatically hate it. And it's just how everything is in all of the creation. For example, something can be wet or it can be dry. You know, it's either wet or it's dry. It can be black or it can be white. It can't be both at the same time. If you go on and on, the extreme opposites of everything exist, and that's how everything is. You see, in the world, those are kind of shallow interpretations, I guess, or applications of the extremes. But if someone loves something, then there must of necessity be things that they hate.
Amen.
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 And we have passages in the scripture to directly address what God loves and what he hates.
Right. Right.
For example, we have a couple listed at the bottom of the sheet you have there. Proverbs 6:16 says very clearly, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And he goes down a list of things that God hates. And so, in order to love, there must be hate.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean we hate anyone.
Right.
Or any person.
Yes.
And the very nature of God is love. As the Bible says in 1 John 4, it says that God is love.
That's
couple
right.
of times there are verses 8 and then I think maybe 16 or somewhere there down that same passage. Twice it says God is love.
Yes, he is.
So what we need to see is that the very essence of God, he is love.
It's love.
In other words, but that does not mean that there are no things that God hates.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to understand that. Now, it's a difficult thing because people want to make it mean that God hates people who are not saved. And then just the opposite is really true.
Yes.
The Bible says that it's not God's desire that any should perish.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
So that means I want to save all of you.
Right.
But it can't be your way. This is where we come into the hot water. Yes. It has to be my way, God said.
God's way.
I will save you, but it has to be my way. And the reason being, we don't really know how to be saved.
Right.
If God does not teach us, we do not know.
Amen.
See? And God has a way. And the Bible says there is a way that seems right unto men, but the ends thereof are the ways of death.
Yeah, that's right.
See, so it's going to be if we go our way and do any old thing and say God doesn't care, and we can do whatever we want, or we can do this, that, or the other, or there are many ways that lead to God. These are the kind of things people are saying in our culture. Now, we're saying that the God who gave his son, who was crucified on the cross,
that's right,
who died there, he did that for nothing because we could go another way.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other way we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't group Jesus Christ into a group of other gods, if
no
you
way.
Will.
No way.
And expect that what he says is true at all. Because if there is any other way, what he says is completely not true.
Right.
So God makes it where you need to believe what I say about my son, or you can believe something else. Anything else that you choose is not going to get you saved.
Amen.
And you know what? God's mercy allows people to take those positions all the way up till they take their last breath.
Amen.
Did you know that?
Amen.
You can believe anything you want until you go in the box.
Right.
Once you go in the box, now you will believe God at that point because the truth will become evident.
Yes, it will.
And so, and whatever you have chosen in your lifetime to believe will now be galvanized. Right. It will be set in concrete.
Yes.
Or so to speak. Once you breathe your last breath.
That's it.
Whatever you have chosen now becomes crystallized and you cannot change it.
Amen.
Okay, it's like when you mix water. How many of you have been mixing either, let's use two illustrations. For the guys, we'll do this one. We'll split it up, make it a male-female thing here today. If you're mixing up concrete and you don't deal with it in about an hour or so, what's going to happen? When you go back, it's too late.
That's it. That's
if you're over here pouring and then all of a sudden the phone rings and you go answer the phone and you come back to pour some more concrete, what's going to happen? It's too late.
It's too late.
That concrete's hard as a rock. You got to break it up with a hammer and throw it away or start from scratch to get some more concrete that you can work with.
That's right.
That's kind of how it is. And then with the women, I was thinking if you're mixing up batter or a cake and then you leave it set too long and it's time to cook and all the baking soda and everything dies down, it's not going to be any good anymore, is it?
Mm-hmm.
You got to throw it out and start with a fresh batch. It won't work.
Right.
So that's the way it is in life. God fixes it where you have your whole lifetime to embrace the things that I've given you. And if once you've done that, I mean, once you are out of here, that's it. You don't have any more chance to change it. It's locked in.
That's right.
You know, so if you have chosen in your life to trust the Lord, walk with him, allow him to mold you, to shape you like he wants to do, he wants us all to be saved.
Yes.
He paid the price for us all to be saved.
Yes, he did.
He gave his son for us all to be saved.
Yes.
He allowed him to be wounded for your transgressions,
yes,
bruised for your iniquities,
yes,
chastised for your peace.
Yes.
By his stripes, you were healed.
Yes.
If you believe him, the Bible says if you confess Jesus Christ,
yes,
as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead,
yes,
you shall be saved.
Yes.
See, but you have to do that while you're breathing, while the blood is running warm in your veins.
That's right.
You can't say, well, you know, I'll believe later on. Well, if you do, you don't know how long you have. And so my admonition to everyone that I see is choose mercy now.
Now.
God has provided mercy,
amen,
for us, for whoever believes in the name of his son.
Yes.
And if you don't choose it right now,
mm-hmm,
it could be too late.
Mm-hmm.
You may not know. We don't know. You know, strange things happen in the world.
Yeah.
And people go to bed one night, don't wake up sometimes.
That's right. Amen.
And we don't know whether we'll wake up or we won't. We hope we will. If there's going to be another day, I'd like to be around for it.
Amen.
You know, and God has fixed it where you only have one day.
That's one right. day.
That's only it. One day you can deal with, and that's today. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation.
Yes.
And now is the acceptable time. See, God says right now,
right
in your right mind. You know what? You can be living and not be in your right mind
that's
in 20 minutes.
That's right.
You can be where you can't say a word.
That's right.
In just a minute. It doesn't take long. The human makeup is that way.
That's right.
And so I always tell people, choose mercy now. God has given mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And what is mercy? I want to define mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy is when God does not give us what we deserve.
That's right. Amen.
Okay? It's like I did stuff against God and he gave me what I deserve. I could be a tearful memory right now.
That's right. Amen.
See? But God has chosen to give us mercy. Mercy is when he doesn't give us what we deserve. And the miraculous and good thing about God, I'm going to tell you another one. There's so many we can't tell you all of them. You'll find out another one in 5 minutes if you keep living.
Right.
You keep thinking about the goodness of God.
Yeah.
But it's a wonderful thing that he has chosen to give us grace.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Grace means I'm going to let you slide. I have fixed a way where somebody else can pay your bill entirely.
Yeah.
Everything that you owe me.
Yes.
Amen.
Now and in the future. Anything you did in the past. You know what? We might be able to do something about the future if we try real hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have people who call themselves monks. They go and they sit and meditate all day.
Right.
And they try to meditate on God and they stay away from the world. They separate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Not that God ever told you to do that.
No. Mm-hmm.
But that's what they do. And their effort is, well, I'm going to try not to think about any more sin ever. I'm just going to sit here and meditate on God.
Yeah.
Wow.
In a monastery.
Yeah.
And we're just going to sing praises in our mind and try to block the world out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to sin anymore. You see?
Right.
And they sit there and they meditate and they pray and all that all day,
yeah,
trying to block the world out,
yep,
so that none of that sinful influence comes into my life.
Doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
No way.
You know? And not only that, but when you do that, you violate what God said. God told his disciples, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations. He didn't say, sit ye therefore and meditate the sin out your life, because you're not going to be able to do it. You know? And he said, get up and go. And as you are going, teach all the nations. So the command is to go out. But there are people like that who think, I can just now sit and I'm going to get the sin out of my life, and I'm going to cut loose from all the folks that's in sin and go somewhere and sit and be holy. Doesn't work. And the mercy of God covers you, so you don't ever have to worry about that.
My Lord.
He doesn't want you worried.
That's right. Amen.
God wants you to be footloose and fancy free in Jesus.
Amen.
Not that doesn't mean frivolous and going out doing stuff I shouldn't be doing. It means I know God has covered me.
Yes.
He has blessed me.
Yes.
He has forgiven me.
Yes.
He's now leading me and directing my life so that I can be the kind of person that he wants me to be.
Amen.
He loves me. He's not sitting there going, well, I don't know about that Michael. Well, I tell you. No, he's not doing that.
My Lord,
he's saying,
Jesus.
If you trust in my son, I receive you just like I receive him.
Yes. My Lord.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
You should be overjoyed.
That's right. Amen.
You know, I always said this too. Now, I said, some people say they're saved, and I always wonder, boy, why don't your face know that you're saved?
All right.
The way you're looking, you're sitting up there. You know, I said, I don't know what's up with you.
My Lord.
If you saved, look like you ought to show.
Yes. Amen.
You ought to be happy.
Yes.
In the Lord. You shouldn't be sitting around moaning and groaning and griping and complaining. We like that, though. You know, we like that. But you wonder, boy, don't your face know that you're saved?
Yes. That's right. Amen.
What you looking like that for? You know. And so we want to see that God wants to free you. It's just the opposite of what religion does. Religion binds you in a system.
Yes.
It has do's and don'ts, and if you don't do this and if you don't do that, it puts chains on you or bondage.
Yes, it does.
But God wants you to be free.
My Lord.
He made each person unique and individual for a particular purpose.
Yes, he did.
There are people in your life that I will never see. That sounds strange, but it's true. Think through it. You work with some people, some folks live on your street, there's some folks at your job, people you go to a market somewhere where you go to buy your food. I'll never see those people.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing is true of me. There's folks in my life, wherever I go, some of them you will never see, even though you may see some of them. But so God has made each person unique and individual and planted you where he wants you to be in the world so you can affect people that other people might not even be able to reach.
Amen.
So you are a unique creation from God.
Yes.
So when we look at this one, now Paul is bringing into this argument of the man Moses. First of all, we take a look at what he said. We're going to back up a little in Romans 9:12. It says it was said to her, and her is Rebecca. In this case, the elder, that means the oldest child, shall serve the younger child. We know that Esau was born first.
Yeah.
He came out first. He was the firstborn. He was red and hairy, it says, a red, hairy little fellow when he came out. And Jacob reached out of the womb and grabbed his heel when he was on his way out. Maybe he wanted to go first. The old heel grabber came and grabbed his heel there as he was coming out. But God had already told her when the children were yet in her womb and she was having struggles with the twins in her body that the one coming out first is going to serve the other one that's in the womb last. And I saw something symbolistic in that when I thought about it. You know, when we come out, the Bible says we're born in the flesh. And when our mother's water breaks loose, we're born into the world. We come forth out of the waters. Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh, what?
It's flesh.
It's flesh. Then he said, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I think we have a picture of that kind of when we look at the children of Rebekah. The firstborn came out. He broke the waters, came forth first. But God had already blessed the secondborn. He already said that younger one, the older one, is going to serve the younger one.
Yeah, yeah.
See that? And that was spoken by the Spirit of God before the child was born. You see that?
That's right.
And so there was a spiritual blessing on Jacob already.
Yeah.
And Brother Dotson asked a question about this during the Bible midweek study about what is up with that. How could he say Jacob I loved and Esau I hated? Well, he says that in Malachi, and it's like generations after these kids have already come and gone. They've been born, they've lived their lives, they've died already.
Yep.
And God is speaking in the past saying that he loved Jacob but Esau, he hated.
Yes.
So he's looking back in the past and saw how Esau, he did not regard his birthright. Mm-hmm. He was the firstborn, and to all the Jews at that time, that meant that he was to receive a double blessing,
yeah.
a double portion of the inheritance,
mm-hmm.
all of that. But he came out and he despised it. He didn't want that. He said, a bowl of soup is worth more than that.
Sure did.
So it was just that attitude, that Esau attitude, that I don't care about the things of God.
That's right.
Just give me the soup. Feed this body.
Yeah.
Fix it up. Make it all nice.
Uh-huh.
You see? And I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I got what I need and my mouth is in check, I'm good. You know? I don't need all that blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the attitude of Esau that was not good.
That's what it was. Amen.
He had an anti-God attitude.
Yeah.
Jacob desired to be the one that was blessed.
Yep.
He was grabbing out for it even from the womb, trying to get back in here.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. I'm reading a little bit into that. But he came out second, and he was born. It was almost like you could say he was the second born, just like with you and I. We're born in the flesh, but we must be born again.
Yeah.
Amen.
Of the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Right.
Amen.
You see, God, the Holy Spirit, is birthing in those. He's bringing life into those who trust Christ.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in you. That's your second birth, if you will.
Amen.
And now you're born to the waking up from the dead, born into the family of God, adopted by God.
Yes.
And now you can hear the voice of God.
Amen.
And you can respond to the voice of God.
Yeah.
Yo, how can you respond to something you cannot hear?
Right.
You gotta hear from the Lord.
Yes, you do.
And not just hear the words, but you need to know that these are live, powerful words. It's living, active, powerful words from God.
Amen. Yeah.
And by those words, I'm going to reorganize my life concerning the things of God.
Yes.
And that's how we're going to grow. So he says, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Mm-hmm. And then the scripture goes on to say, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? That might seem like God is unrighteous because he said he hated Esau. He's talking about the attitude of the person who turns their back on the word of God.
Yes, yes.
Has nothing in their heart for the things of God. You see that? And so God is not unrighteous. God forbid. Paul goes on to say that's the strongest negative in the Greek language that's translated here, God forbid. Some of them may say, some translations say, may it never be.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Depends on which one you're reading. King James says, God forbid. And as we said last week, a kind of a popular one might be, no way, Jose. But not on your life. You know, there's no possibility that God is unrighteous. For he saith to Moses, now he brings Moses to the stand, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. God says that's my prerogative if I want to bless somebody.
That's right.
It's up to me. It's a divine
Amen.
Prerogative.
Amen.
Just like you, it's up to you. If you want to bless somebody, you can.
Yeah.
If there's something you don't want, that's your choice.
Yeah.
Yep.
See, so it's not that God is unrighteous, it's that he is a loving God.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you, he wants you to do right and be right.
Yeah.
He understands we have a problem with our very nature, and he is the only one who can change that nature and give us a new heart and a new nature. So basically, Moses is the example where Moses asked God to do something that we would say, boy, that's, God says it's really not possible for me to show you myself. It's going to do you harm.
Yes.
But because I have chosen you and the people who you are leading,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to do something special for you that I have not done for anyone. That's what he says here. So it was God's choice to take him and put him in a situation where you can't see my full blazing glory, because that would just disintegrate you, Moses.
Yes.
You know, but I'm going to put you in the cliff of a rock. That's kind of a symbol of us being in Christ. We're cloaked in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, we are.
And I'm going to cover you with my hand.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to pass by. And then I'm going to take the hand away after I'm already gone, so you can just see the afterglow, the backlash from me going by. It's going to be so much glory there, it's going to blow your mind anyway.
Yeah.
But you can't stand to see my face, Moses.
No way.
Because no man can see my face and live.
Yeah.
You see? And so think about this one now on that note. When John 1:14 came to pass,
mm-hmm.
God clothed the entire of his glory in his son.
Yeah.
wrapped in flesh, veiled in flesh, the Godhead seen, some songwriter said. Because now he's wrapped in the body of Jesus Christ, the full glory of God, manifested in the flesh. And John says, the word was made flesh, O King James, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, and so God wanted to do this just as a blessing to Moses to show him that I'm going to show you my glory because I can. It's my prerogative to do that. Doesn't mean I don't like anyone else or that I hate anybody else for any other reason. It's just that it's my choice. I can do this. You ask, so I'm going to do it. So he set up a situation where Moses could behold the glory of God even at his time. And so since God is love, mercy is an integral facet of the nature of Almighty God, and therefore it is dispensed according to divine prerogative. Just as the counterpart of love is hate, we would say, in other words, you cannot have love without hate. Hate exists as the natural antonym, if you want to call it that, of love. And so it automatically exists. But in order for there to be love, there must also be hate.
All right.
Come on.
Of that which is against love. Anything that's going against God's love, like evil things that people say or anything that people say can get you to God other than Christ, that's an evil thing. We hate that thing. We don't hate the people.
Right.
Because they are blinded in their trespasses and sins just like we used to be before we were called.
So
we want them to choose mercy now. God has chosen to give mercy to everyone who trusts in his Son.
Yes.
People who don't trust in his Son don't realize they need mercy.
That's right.
And so the gospel is the wake-up call that God has given to wake people up from the dead. So that's why you and I can never forsake the preaching of the gospel.
All right.
Because the Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
To everyone that believeth. But much of the church has decided to put the gospel on the back burner and to tell people how they can be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous.
Yep.
You know, but you can be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous and not have the gospel, and it won't profit you anything.
Amen.
The concrete will harden, and it'll be too late to work with it before you know it.
Yes.
So we need to move forward in faith right now. We need to choose God's mercy now. It is the gospel that is to be preached in all the world for a witness, Jesus said, and then the end shall come.
Yes.
People don't get woke up by being told that I can get you anything you want or God will give you whatever you need, physical things. Because all those things are going to go away. They're going to perish and be of no benefit.
No.
And only that which you have laid up in heaven is going to prosper you in the long run.
That's right.
That's why Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and thieves do not break through nor steal.
That's right.
They cannot get to the bank of heaven. They can destroy all of this down here. So it's very important that we understand that we need to choose God's mercy.
Yes.
Now there are so many features of God's mercy we will not even attempt to talk about it this morning. But I want you to know God will be merciful to you in any area that you're dealing with.
That's it, that's it.
No matter what you are dealing with. He wants to show you his mercy.
Yes.
He wants to give you favor. Doesn't mean he doesn't want you to have physical things. He does. He wants you to have the best. His people always had the best. They had enough they could give away quite a bit and still be blessed. He even challenged them and said, you bring the tithes into the storehouse and I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't even have room to receive. See? So God doesn't want his people in poverty and walking around looking sad. That's just the opposite. On the contrary, he wants you to be well blessed so that you can give to his work in the world, help promote the gospel to the ends of the earth. And he said, I'm going to overflow the windows of heaven and pour it out to you just by grace through faith. And I'm giving you mercy. That means no matter what it is that I could deal with you about another way, I choose not to. So we should choose mercy right now. In the present time, God has published good news to all the world that through his son's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, all who believe in him shall be saved. That's the crux of our message. And it's not the preacher. It's not the church. It's not any of those other things. It is the message itself, which is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. So we want to ask if there's anybody here right now that has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior,
Choose mercy right now.
Yes.
The Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke up on you and learn from me.
Mm-hmm.
See, God wants to teach us. He knows we don't know what we need. Mm-hmm. When we do know, then we can do something about it.
Amen.
The changes that need to be made can be made.
Yes.
So he said, take my yoke up on you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Yes.
That's Matthew 11 and 28.
Mm-hmm.
So God wants you saved, and he wants to be an integral part of your life.
Yes.
He'll take up residence in you, and he will lead you and guide you to all truth.
Oh, yeah.
He'll do stuff for you that you thought couldn't be done.
Yes.
Sometimes we all have stuff. I got some stuff in my mind that seems like it's going to be rough, and I'm not going to say it can't be done, because I've gotten to the place in the faith walk where I know God will do whatever he said.
Yes,
he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to do it, but my heart is set on it already. See? And so you get like that after you get walk with God a while. You'll see that God will give you the strength, the understanding, the knowledge, the resources, the boldness, whatever it is that you need to take a stand for the truth. He'll give you the ability to cut loose stuff that you don't know how it could be fixed. He can fix stuff that's been broke a long time. You don't know how it's going to be fixed. But I have a solution for you. And if you come to me, I will fix you and give you that confidence and assurance so that you can know that you are saved. So if you're here today and you are not saved, we open the doors of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Is the language we use. In other words, come right now while you can.
Amen.
And God will bless you with salvation.
Yes,
amen. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap.
Yes,
amen. It cost the Lord his son, but he gave him for you. Jesus joyfully died for you, whoever you are. And then he defeated death, hell, and the grave in order to give you victory so that you can know for certain that you are saved. So let us sing a song at this time.
Yes.
There is room at the cross.